This has got to work. God, I'm so scared.
Victoria Abigail Worthington used one trembling hand to pull some of her curly, long blonde hair forward to obscure her face. She rubbed her damp palms on the sides of her jeans, took a deep breath, then burst out of the restroom at the last possible moment to catch her bus. Hurrying across the terminal in the Kansas City station, she dashed out to the bus departing for St. Louis. Her heart hammered in her chest when she was forced to stand behind a man huffing as he hauled a suitcase up the two steps. She expected to feel a hand grab her shoulder at any second. Finally, she entered the vehicle. The door closed behind her. She looked back for the first time. The bus station was busy with travelers coming and going. She didn't see anyone she recognized, but she didn't know all her father's men. No one appeared to be searching for someone. For her. The knot in her stomach loosened. Her pounding heart slowed. She moved to the back of the bus and sank onto a vacant seat 2 rows from the bathroom. So far, so good, but this was only a single step in her escape plan. Step one had been getting out of her father's estate undetected. Step two had been getting on this outbound bus without being stopped. The trip to St. Louis would take just over 4 hours. The bus would make a brief layover in Columbia for 2 hours' time. That would be step three, and the most crucial one to throw off any pursuit. She had a long way to go. She didn't breathe easy until the bus left the city and was heading east on the interstate. As the suburbs fell away behind her, she briefly closed her eyes. She needed rest, but couldn't afford to let her guard down. Her father and her ex-boyfriend Logan would do everything in their power to get her back. Stopping a bus and having her hauled off would be a piece of cake for men with their connections. All she could do was pray her absence wouldn't be noticed for at least 4 hours. A 4-hour lead was crucial for her plan to work. 1 hour and 50 minutes later, she glanced around carefully. It was almost midnight, and everyone she saw was nodding off, staring out at the night or reading by the light of the little overhead spots. No one paid any attention to her as she made her way to the restroom at the back of the bus. Inside the stall that reeked of industrial-grade air freshener over less pleasant odors, she opened her backpack and pulled out a change of clothes. Her fingers shook as she slipped out of her faded jeans and bright pink t-shirt. She pulled on a dress that she had sewn from a set of her dark blue sheets. It reached to her mid-calf and was gathered slightly at the waist with 3/4-length sleeves, a style worn by thousands of Amish women. She slipped a matching apron over her shoulders and tied it in back. Next, she ruthlessly brushed her frizzy blonde curls into sleek submission, parted her hair in the middle, and twisted it up to the back of her head and pinned it in place. Turning her yellow backpack inside out so that only the gray lining showed, she stuffed her jeans and shirt into it. She didn't have another pair of shoes. The serviceable black ones she had borrowed from one of the housekeepers were a half size too small, but nondescript enough to escape notice. She then scrubbed every trace of makeup from her face with the dribble of cold water from the faucet and paper towels. Finally, she settled a white Amish cup on her head and smoothed the ribbons that hung loose on each side of her neck. It was the head covering her Amish grandmother, Miriam Martin, had made for her 7 years ago. It was a treasured memento from the woman who'd loved her, and now it was a key part of her disguise. She looked at her transformation in the cracked mirror. The heavily made-up woman with wild curly hair was gone. In her place stood a plain, modest young Amish maiden.
Thank you, Grandma Martin.
No, she must speak Deutsch.
Denji, Großmami.
Her accent wasn't quite right, but no one would notice unless they were very familiar with the Amish. She tucked her brush in with her clothes. Picking up her backpack, she hooked the drawstring closure over her shoulder, then opened the lavatory door and checked outside. Nothing had changed. No one was looking her way.